On this special episode of America Unearthed, we investigate a controversial theory about the alleged murder of an American icon. Some images may be disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised. The history that we were all taught growing up is wrong. My name is Scott Wolter, and I'm a forensic geologist. There's a hidden history that nobody knows about. There are pyramids, chambers, tombs, inscriptions. They're all over the world. We're going to investigate these artifacts and sites, and we're going to get to the truth. Sometimes history isn't what we've been told. He's one of America's most legendary explorers, Meriwether Lewis. Handpicked by President Thomas Jefferson in 1803 to team up with William Clark to map out the land acquired in the Louisiana Purchase. The area was enormous, reaching from Louisiana up to what is now Montana. Jefferson hoped they'd find a direct water route to the Pacific, create a map of the area, and catalog new species of plants and animals in the region. But there has always been some who believe there was more to their expedition. I got a call from a journalist friend who said he had something interesting to show me.
We got something I want to show you here. Take a look at this, and I borrowed these books, and I want to show them to you.
Wow. What is this?
What you're holding there is the first edition of The Core of Discovery by Lewis and Clark.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. This is amazing. Does this chronicle everything that they saw?
Well, see, that's the point. It may not chronicle everything.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it means that there are missing pages in Meriwether Lewis's journals.
Do we have any idea what is in those missing pages?
We don't have any idea what's in it, but he could have known something. He could have found something that would be so frightening to that day and age that somebody might want to kill him for it.
Okay, I know that he died in 1809, and this would have been about 3 years after they came back from the expedition, but I thought it was suicide. That's what I've always heard.
It's the prevailing theory, and that's where the evidence seems to point. We do know that Thomas Jefferson tasked the Corps of Discovery and Lewis and Clark with finding out about tribes and the flora and the fauna in the West, but he also tasked them with something very unusual. He said, I want you to look for any possibility of Welsh settlement in the West.
Pre-Columbian Welsh?
Pre-Columbian Welsh. Let's say they found that. Well, if they had that information, if Meriwether Lewis possessed that in his journals and it didn't appear, it was part of the missing, then it would take the whole idea of American colonial history, our very foundation, and toss it out the window.
Wow. That kind of a discovery could have gotten Lewis killed.
You know what we call that? Motive.
It's a shocking theory. Did Thomas Jefferson send Lewis and Clark on a secret mission? Did the president want them to find out whether the Welsh were here before the original colonists? And could whatever Lewis found have led to his murder?
Well, this is really fascinating stuff. But I'm a geologist.
I was looking for a geologist because I think one of the answers rests in a stone, and if it's authentic, may suggest some evidence of pre-Columbian Welsh settlement in the United States. It's called the Brandenburg Stone. And I'd like you to take a look at that.
Where is this stone?
In Kentucky.
After talking to Don, it seems like there's a lot we actually don't know about America's most well-known explorer, like whether Meriwether Lewis ended his own life or whether someone ended it for him. If he found evidence the Welsh were in America in pre-Columbian times, it could mean they staked a prior claim to the land, land Jefferson just spent $15 million on in a move that would double the size of the United States. The missing journal pages could be a clue, and so could this Brandenburg Stone. A stone inscribed with what could be a land claim and possibly written in Welsh.
Jerry, what's been the reaction to the stone?
Some people believe the stone is ancient Welsh. Some people dismiss it. I think it's entirely possible that it's an ancient inscription.
This is an amazing stone, and this inscription here especially is really amazing. You know, a couple things just right off the bat. This is the first time I've ever looked at this stone. First of all, these are limestones, probably oolitic limestones. And if you look very closely, you'll see what looks like little sand grains. But they're actually sand of limestone, and they're called oolites. When I look down into the grooves, I can see some of those ooids, so that's an indication of weathering. Based on everything I've seen, we're not looking at a hoax here. Does anybody know what this inscription says?
It's been translated as a property boundary, a land claim stone. And if that's the case, then certainly this would indicate a possible ancient or prior claim.
If Lewis found something like this, indicating that other people came to North America prior to Columbus, prior to this land acquisition, if they knew something about what was in Lewis's diary, that could have gotten him killed.
Quite possibly.
Where this whole thing started for me, a good friend of mine suggested I come and look at this stone after we looked at Meriwether Lewis's journal.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the pages in that journal have gone missing. And maybe the reason is because during the expedition, he found something that indicated pre-Columbian contact. This could actually call into question the whole legitimacy of the United States.
I'm investigating whether famed explorer Meriwether Lewis was murdered. One theory is that his killing was motivated by evidence he may have discovered on his expedition, evidence about voyages to America by the ancient Welsh. It may seem far-fetched, but for hundreds of years, there have been legends of Welsh explorers coming to the New World prior to Columbus, even intermingling with native tribes. Some say the Welsh left a land claim behind in the form of an artifact called the Brandenburg Stone. I examined this clue and saw evidence of weathering that takes a long time. But now, I need to see where it came from. A place called Paradise Bottom. Today, Paradise Bottom is a quarry. The Brandenburg stone is oolitic limestone, and that's what I'm looking for here. If the stone is really a Welsh land claim, whoever carved it would have used local rock. I'm meeting with Lee Pennington, who knows exactly where the Brandenburg stone was found, and maybe a little something about how it figures into the mystery of Meriwether Lewis's death.
I understand you're an expert on the Brandenburg stone.
Well, I've been researching it over the past 20 years, so I do know a little bit about it.
Okay. I'm also investigating it, and its possible tie to the death of Meriwether Lewis.
Well, certainly could have a connection.
Okay. My understanding is that the Brandenburg stone was found somewhere near here where this quarry is now?
The Brandenburg stone evidently rolled down from the top of this bluff to the edge of the road there.
I want to see if the stone that I've looked at matches the rock that's here. Well, you know, Lee, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were about pre-Columbian Welsh that came to America.
I think that's the very group that carved the Brandenburg stone. Information that I discovered in Wales indicates that in the 6th century, the fleet of 700 ships came to this continent. And I think that group of people intermingled with the Mandans.
The Mandan were a Native American tribe who lived along the Missouri River and eventually settled in the Dakotas. For hundreds of years, some people have remarked that they have European features and that they spoke Welsh.
What about some hard physical, tangible evidence?
Well, we got one thing in particular with the Mandans, where those boats that they had, the bull boats, are identical with the coracles in Wales. Both were made with animal hides stretched over wooden frames.
Well, that's interesting, Lee. Maybe all of that stuff proves that there was an early Welsh visit that came to North America hundreds of years before Columbus.
Well, certainly one piece of the puzzle.
And this is what we're looking for. It's a very specific, unique kind of limestone. It's an oolitic limestone, and when you look closely on a broken surface, you will see a little rounded grain. All right, Lee, let's find a match. I think we got it. I can say with reasonable certainty that whoever carved the Brandenburg stone found a rock in this vicinity and carved it. But I tell you what now has suddenly become very important is we really need to understand what that inscription says. If everything that, you know, we've talked about, the rock is here, the Brandenburg stone, the Welsh, if that's all connecting here, it's possible that Meriwether Lewis found some of that evidence. And if he did, could that be a reason why some people, perhaps factions within our government, would want him murdered?
Well, I certainly think it was murder. The circumstances surrounding his death is just the farthest thing from suicide from my perspective. He was shot twice. It's difficult for a person committing suicide to shoot himself once and then turn around and shoot himself again, with the old guns especially. And there's this business of the missing pages of the diary.
If there was something there that he found on that expedition, perhaps evidence of the Welsh, wouldn't be a shock to me at all that there were people at the highest levels of our government that could have been behind the murder of one of America's greatest and most beloved heroes. Hey, Don.
Hey, Scott. I just wanted to know how things are going down in Kentucky for you.
Well, I tell you what, everything's going great here. I had a chance to look at the Brandenburg stone, and it's very interesting. It does show some evidence of weathering.
That's exciting. Hey, is there anything I can do to help?
Well, I tell you what there is. I'm wondering if you can help me figure out what the inscription says. I did take some photos, and I will send them to you, and if you can help me out, that'd be great.
I will do it. Hey, listen, Scott, there's a guy you ought to talk to. His name is Jim Holmberg, and I think he's got some clues that you might be able to use.
If there's any connection between Meriwether Lewis's death and possible pre-Columbian Welsh coming here, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm investigating the death of famous explorer Meriwether Lewis. I've learned that Thomas Jefferson asked Lewis to look for evidence the Welsh made it to America before Columbus. I think there's reason to believe Lewis might have found that evidence and wrote about it in his journal, pages of which mysteriously disappeared. If Lewis did find evidence the Welsh were here, it might be motive for his murder, because it would call into question the ownership of the early American colonies and the land Jefferson bought in the Louisiana Purchase, land that Lewis set out to explore right from this very spot. I'm looking into the death of Meriwether Lewis, and some people believe that he was murdered. Others think that he took his own life.
Well, you've certainly come to the right place, because it was here at the Falls of the Ohio in October of 1803 that Lewis and Clark met to form one of the most famous partnerships in American history. Why don't we go on down towards the falls?
Sounds good.
They set off down the Ohio and up the Mississippi. Eventually, in 1804, they went up the Missouri River. They wintered with the Mandan Indians. And then the next year, 1805, they go all the way to the Pacific Ocean.
Can you imagine back then what was going through the minds of these guys before they took off? I mean, for all they knew, there was a good chance they were never coming back.
Well, they didn't know that. They may never come back. They were going into the unknown, the wilderness. They didn't know what would be around the next bend of the river, over the next mountain. And to think that they did come back, all except one man, and he died of natural causes.
Yeah, it's incredible how successful it really was.
Yeah.
What were some of the motivations in Thomas Jefferson's mind behind the Lewis and Clark expedition?
Well, he very quietly had $2,500 appropriated for the expedition. And this was actually before the Louisiana Purchase was made. Ever since Jefferson was a young man, he wanted to know what was out west. What was to that unknown beyond the Mississippi River? What were the native peoples like? Did the native peoples have agriculture, better plants that would actually help the American farmers? The geography, the geology, even thoughts of mastodons, you know, were mastodons extinct? And then it actually became national security. And Jefferson had a fear of the British and coming out of Canada and what they might want to do. Would they hem in this young American republic and keep them from growing and going all the way to the Pacific Ocean?
So, Jim, another thing. Many people believe that Jefferson told Lewis and Clark to go looking for evidence of Welsh contact amongst the natives. Did they ever find anything?
Well, the legend of the Welsh Indians, the Mandan Indians. And Lewis and Clark never specifically said that they did find that. Now, when they got further west in the Rocky Mountains among the Flathead Indians, some of the men commented that their dialect sounded a lot like the Welsh.
If Lewis and Clark had found evidence of pre-Columbian Welsh contact and were on the way to bringing that back, couldn't that have strengthened the British claim to the Western territories? And could that also have made Lewis possibly a target? Because he had this information in his journal, maybe there were people within the U.S. government that wouldn't want that to come out. What do you think of that?
So a conspiracy.
Maybe.
And that's a theory, you know, and it could or should be investigated. I think perhaps there are missing parts of his journal. Some things that we know he should have been writing about aren't there. There's some gaps that just don't seem to hang together.
That brings another question. When I think about his death, you know, was it murder? Was it suicide? And could what was in those papers have led to his death?
My own personal opinion is that he had a breakdown and decided to end his own life. When he comes back from the expedition, things just don't seem to connect for him. He has just kind of a whole cascading number of problems. He was drinking too much. He was self-medicating with opiates. at Grinder's Stand along the Natchez Trace in Tennessee, about 70 miles southwest of Nashville, he has his final breakdown.
Lewis was shot twice, once in the head and once in the body. And I've read where part of his skull actually was blown off.
Yeah.
And if he was shot first in the head, I have an awful hard time believing somebody's gonna keep going and shoot themselves in the body if their brain's exposed.
But there are people out there who believe he was murdered.
Well, who is that?
The Lewis family.
Was Meriwether Lewis murdered at an inn on the Natchez Trace? He died in the fall of 1809, just 3 years after returning from his exploration of the West. If he was killed, could the motive have been something controversial he found during his expedition? I've met people who believe that Lewis did find evidence of pre-Columbian Welsh in America, and that he wrote about it in his journal, pages of which are now missing. If he did find evidence like the Brandenburg Stone, which some believe is a Welsh land claim, it would call into question the ownership of the land the United States was founded on and could provide a motive for murder. I've heard that Lewis's own family members insist their famous relative didn't commit suicide, but was shot dead by someone else. Can you tell me how you're related to Meriwether Lewis?
Well, his sister, Jane Lewis, was my great-great-great-grandmother. So he was my great-great-great-great-uncle.
Okay.
Hard to keep up with the greats sometimes.
I think I got that, though. What does the family think about his death?
Pretty much the family thinks that he would have been murdered.
You don't think he committed suicide?
No, we don't.
What do you know about some of the circumstances that led up to his death?
Well, after he came back from the expedition in 1806, he did get started on trying to publish the journals into a book, but he really didn't get that far along with it.
Sure.
He was carrying his journals and going to Washington, which put him on the Natchez Trace. He stopped at a place called the Grinder's Stand, which was run by the Grinders. Mrs. Grinder gave him a place to stay for the night. In the middle of the night, the innkeeper heard several shots and found him the next morning dead.
There were no firsthand witnesses that actually saw his death or the shots ring out?
No, she heard the shots, but she did not see them actually occur. And so she did not know who actually pulled the trigger.
So what other things make you think it wasn't a suicide?
Well, one thing, there were two shots, or maybe three. One was to the head, which by some accounts partially took his brain off, and an abdomen wound, which is kind of strange for someone committing suicide. He was overheard talking. He may have been talking to someone else, or maybe he was just practicing what he was going to say when he got to Washington, or, you know, we really don't know exactly what he was saying.
Many people believe that elements at high levels in our government, possibly even as high as President Jefferson, may have been involved in a conspiracy to kill Lewis.
Well, it's possible there was political intrigue.
Some people suggest that he found evidence that the Welsh came to America prior to Columbus and placed a land claim. That might have been a reason for people to want to silence him.
If that were the case, I could see where that would be a problem for some people.
A possible motive.
Right.
Has your family done anything to try to get to the bottom of this? Maybe an autopsy or exhuming his body?
The family has tried to have the body exhumed. The National Park Service is in charge of the land here, but to this point, they have refused to allow us to exhume the body.
I look at this, I see that pillar. It's a broken pillar, and I'm sure that means something to you.
Well, the broken pillar is to represent the life cut short. Okay. Because Lewis's life was definitely cut short.
Was he not also a Freemason?
Yes, he was. He had joined, I think, 1796. In fact, when he went to St. Louis, he founded a Mason's Lodge in St. Louis.
The first lodge in St. Louis?
Yes. I don't really know that much about the Masonic practices, but I understand that his apron is in Helena, Montana, at the lodge there. It's reported that he had it with him at the time of his death, and there appear to be blood stains on it.
That's really important, because maybe if this thing was tested, we might be able to find something out, for example, if there was a struggle. If we could get access to it and test it, we could do DNA on it. And if we found evidence of another person other than his blood, we might be able to get to the bottom of this mystery once and for all. Guys.
Reed Gardner.
Hi, Reed.
The Grand Secretary and the Curator of the Museum.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, Scott. Tom Chisholm, Grand Master of Masons in Montana.
So my understanding is Meriwether Lewis was a Mason at the time of the expedition. So would that make him the first Freemason into what is now Montana?
Yes, I think that's true. It had been recorded that he was initiated in 1796 with his first degree.
What is the mission of Freemasons?
In a general sense, it's a fraternal organization. The first organized modern versions of Freemasonry developed in the late 1700s in England. It traveled with the colonial concept, and it really took off in the Americas because it fit the designs of the early nation and even the colonies at that time.
I'm here investigating the death of Meriwether Lewis, and I see the painting on the wall there, and I understand that his Masonic apron is here.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, why is that significant to a Freemason?
Well, the apron is the badge of a Freemason. Every Mason, once he becomes a Master Mason, receives an apron, and much later they may acquire, through some means, a more decorative apron. The one that you're inquiring about, that belonged to Meriwether Lewis, was reportedly folded in a pocket of Meriwether Lewis when he met his demise.
And is it true that there's blood stains on it?
There are.
Wow.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really something. I've heard so much about it, and to see it for the first time, it's really amazing.
Back in the 70s, we did have it tested, and at that time, they were only able to determine there was human blood and deer blood on it.
Wow. This apron represents one of America's greatest murder mysteries. And what I would really like to be able to do, with your permission, is to take a sample of this blood. I think we can answer this question about how did this man die?
I'm not certain that that's a good idea.
We are uncomfortable with that. You know, you can see on the left side there, when they did the testing in the 70s, they literally picked up the apron, held it over a beaker, and poured water through the blood to collect the sample. And you can see that there is the stain on the side.
Well, that was back in the 70s. All we need to do is take a very fine swab and barely touch the surface and collect some of the blood.
Yeah, but as Grand Master of Masons in Montana, I'm responsible for all of these artifacts in this museum. This is quite an undertaking you're asking of us here.
Now, we certainly wouldn't want to send it out either because, I mean, this is over 200 years old. It is extremely fragile and delicate.
Oh, I can appreciate that. And believe me, I understand and I respect your concerns. This is a critical piece of American history right here. If you're willing to grant me permission to test the blood on this apron, we finally have a chance to get the history straight about whether or not Meriwether Lewis was murdered. Well, as you guys know, there are many people that believe that Meriwether Lewis took his own life. But there's a lot of evidence that I've seen and people that believe that he may have been murdered. And that's the question we're trying to answer here. And really the key, I think, is in the blood. This testing I'm talking about is non-invasive. All we would do is take a swab and just get a small sample. It could get us the answer that we're looking for.
We're referring to an artifact that is not only family heritage, a Montana artifact. This is something that belongs to the nation. This is a national artifact that you're talking about.
And I appreciate your point that this is an American treasure. But I also think it's important for Americans and the world to know what happened to this man. And if it was murder, why was he murdered? And this is a critical test that we can perform that might be able to help us answer this question.
Testing can be done on site.
We can do it right here, yeah.
Well, I think as Grand Master and speaking for everybody in Montana Masonry,
out of the respect that's due to the history of the artifact, and more importantly, the honor that's due to Meriwether Lewis as a Freemason, I'll grant you permission to take your samples.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is great. With the blood sample from the apron sent off to the lab, we finally have a chance to shed more light on Lewis's death. If he shot himself, it stands to reason only his blood would be on the apron. But if he was shot during a struggle, someone else's blood might be on there too. Either way, it's a clue to the mystery surrounding his death. Another clue may be the Brandenburg Stone, an artifact thought to prove that the ancient Welsh claimed the New World long before Columbus. My analysis of the stone's weathering suggests it could have been carved before 1492, but there's no way to get a more precise date because it was taken out of its original environment and its provenance isn't clear. But understanding what the stone says and the language it was written in could help me prove whether this was the kind of evidence Jefferson tasked Lewis to discover. I've got a lot to tell you.
I've got a lot to tell you, but I want you to go first.
Okay. I just got back from Montana, where I was able to obtain a sample of blood from Meriwether Lewis's Masonic apron.
Wow.
We sent that sample of blood off to the Lakehead Paleo DNA lab in Thunder Bay, and we're hoping that when those results come back, if there's a second person, somebody else's blood that is on that Masonic apron, it could indicate that there was somebody else in that room the night he died.
Unbelievable. I've got the translation of the stone.
Great.
It says, toward strength of promoting unity, divide the land we are spread over purely between offspring is wisdom.
Divide the land. This sounds to me like a land claim, Don.
Here's the problem. It's not ancient Welsh.
It's not?
No. It is in a language called Colbran, and it was invented in the 18th century. It was invented by a guy named Edward Williams. He was a Welsh poet. And he also was, and you won't like this, one of Wales' greatest forgers. So this is not ancient Welsh. Well, let me add one more point. Edward Williams was also a man given to getting high on laudanum, and that is basically liquid heroin.
Really? This is a crazy story. It looks like we can't use this artifact as part of our evidence of this possible Welsh contact.
Just because this does not appear to be authentic doesn't mean the Welsh weren't here, because there is other information, eyewitness accounts from explorers that ran into Indian nations that had European features, light skin, light hair, sometimes blue eyes, particularly the Mandan nation.
But let me ask you about this. What do you think about the whole Welsh theory?
I've been looking at that for quite some time, but there's no real way to know for sure because there is not a lot of evidence that exists to this day. Have you heard of John Dee?
Absolutely, I've heard of John Dee. His name has come up a number of times in my investigation, so I know him very well.
Well, John Dee, based on the research that I've done, may have been responsible for the claim that
the Welsh arrived in the New World prior to Columbus's discovery. And his motives were primarily political, because being from the British Empire, he wanted to be able to establish that there was a British claim in the New World before Spain.
To hear you talk about that doesn't surprise me at all. But what we can be very specific about are these DNA results. If we get results back that say that there was somebody else's blood on that Masonic apron, that could very well mean that someone else was there when Meriwether Lewis died, and maybe that's the person that killed him.
I've talked to some forensic pathologists who say that if the sequence of events was a gunshot to the head, and that failing to work, losing, according to some people, a portion of his skull, exposing his brain, and then shooting himself below the sternum, a gut shot, in other words, that doesn't seem realistic.
We're never going to be able to know for sure. Did he shoot himself in the head, the stomach? We'll never know which came first. So that is why these test results on the blood with the DNA are so important. It may be the only piece of physical evidence that we're ever going to have to help us try to figure out what happened in the death of one of America's most important heroes. Keith?
Oh, Scott, good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. These test results that we're about to get could open the door to a whole host of questions about what happened the night Meriwether Lewis died. You brought your family results, right?
Yes, I was given a copy of the profile
okay.
with family for comparison purposes.
You realize if these test results come back indicating that the blood is somebody other than your relative, that's a big deal.
Either way, I think it might raise more questions than the exhuming of the body might be, you know, the only course left.
Well, Steve, you're going to look at these results to compare with what you got. So are you going to be able to tell us if there's a match with this family?
Yes, what I'm looking for is an exact match of DNA profiles.
Well, Keith, are you ready?
I'm ready to find out.
You've got your family record there?
Great. I have my results right here of the apron, and I'll make a comparison. So, the faces are not a match.
What?
This means that the Lewis family member is not related to the profile that we recovered from the apron.
Wait a minute. So you're saying this is not Meriwether Lewis's blood?
Yes, that's correct. Well, we do have more information. We analyzed two swabs, and on each swab, we got different DNA profiles.
Different human?
Different human. The first swab contained one individual, but the second swab was a mixture, meaning there's more than one individual's DNA present.
What?
And none of those two profiles were a match to the Lewis family member.
Keith?
I don't know. It's incredible.
You didn't expect that, did you?
Not really, no.
Wow. That's a big deal. The fact that you've got someone else's blood, possibly two people.
At least two.
At least two. That, to me, really only points to the night that he died, that there may have been a struggle. Didn't Mrs. Grinder say that she heard what she thought was arguing?
Yes, she did.
And, okay.
That there may have been some other people there.
Well, not necessarily. It could be two different individuals' blood. It could mean that there was some kind of contamination. The blood on the apron and somebody else spitting on it could be from a handler over time.
Anything is possible. But the fact is, I mean, there was a lot of blood on that apron. And I don't know how, why would he be carrying around a bloody apron that somebody else's blood is on? There's no way a Mason would do that. A Mason would keep his Masonic apron pristine. It's one of the most important things to them. And to have it spattered with somebody else's blood has to mean it had to have happened that night. The accepted story here is that Meriwether Lewis took his own life. I didn't believe that before. I sure as heck don't believe it now. Right now, I would say it looks like murder to me. And if so, there has to be a motive. And one of the motives, to me, could possibly be something that Meriwether Lewis and William Clark found during their expedition. Possibly evidence of pre-Columbian contact, maybe even evidence of an earlier land claim. That would certainly have been a motive for him to be killed.
The family's always thought that it's been murder. And this could be a critical or crucial point.
Everybody thought and accepted that it was suicide. No way, not in my mind, it was murder.
Many people believe that the death of famed explorer Meriwether Lewis has always been an American murder mystery. The circumstances of his death over 200 years ago still lead us to question if he actually committed suicide or was murdered. Lewis had a presidential mandate to search the American West for evidence of an ancient Welsh presence prior to Columbus. Along the way, there were reports of natives who spoke Welsh and looked European. And missing sections of Lewis's journals tell me there is a possible motive. I believe that what Lewis discovered on his expedition could have gotten him killed. Now, testing that I've had carried out on the blood that stained Lewis's apron has proven the presence of more than one DNA profile. I think someone else had to be there the night Meriwether Lewis died. And to me, the only reasonable explanation is that he was killed for what he found out. I believe my investigation has blown a hole in the history we've all been told about what happened to one of our nation's most pioneering explorers.